Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is from the Old Testament lesson from the second chapter of Joel. And tonight we hear, "Return to the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God." Please be seated. Return to the Lord your God. This is the drumbeat of our Lenten midweek services this year. Return, return, return. We will hear God calling, return to prayer, return from betrayal, return from false witness, return from denial, return to the kingdom of God. Return to the table. Return to truth. Return to the church. Return and see what God has done for each of you. As you attend our Wednesday midweek Lenten services, you'll hear those themes expressed through the preaching of various books from Holy Scripture. Yet this evening, you'll hear Joel's prophecy and God's invitation to us. Our Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday, as you have heard read, is from the second chapter of Joel. And Joel orients us to the Lenten season. Joel highlights the problem, and then Joel provides a solution in all of its beauty and simplicity. God calls you and me to return to him and him alone. And he will address these needs for us not only tonight, but through the rest of our midweek Lenten services. He will tell us that he will provide all of our needs and that he also provides for our greater need, the forgiveness of our sins and life and salvation. So our task this evening is simple and it's very straightforward. There are three things that we will look at tonight. First, we will look at Joel's prophecy and its context. What's going on? How did God's word speak to the situation? And how might that have sound to the people of Israel? Secondly, we will ponder, does this prophecy apply to us? Are these words only for the Israelites of Joel's day, or is our Lord's prophecy also directed towards each of us? Finally, we hear our Lord's invitation and promises. We will spend some time getting oriented to how we walk this path, this Lenten path, which will finally end at the foot of our Lord's cross. Let's begin this evening by doing a little time travel first as we go back to ancient Israel so that we may get a more clear picture, a more clear idea of the people to whom Joel was speaking, and so that we can understand more about what was going on in their world. My dear brother and sister, we know very little about the prophet Joel. We know that he was a prophet that God called and sent to minister to the southern kingdom, Judah. The book that bears his name is rather short. There are only 73 verses organized into three chapters. But this book of Joel, it is very, very rich. It is very, very deep. And it is very, very complex. Joel's jumping off point is the beginning of our text this evening. And he begins talking about a plague of locusts that would strike Judah. And that would serve as a foreshadowing of the coming day of the Lord. Whether the plague of locusts was literal or if it was figurative isn't really clear. But Joel's message for us and for them was very straightforward. A day of judgment will come. And he, Joel, pleads with the people to turn, or should I say, return to their Lord God, so that they would be found righteous on that great and awesome day. Now, the outline of Joel's prophecy is actually also in three parts. The first part of his prophecy is that invasion of locusts that will destroy everything. Joel calls the people, as you have heard, to a solemn fast to the temple. And there they are to offer prayers of lament, for the day of destruction is at hand. The second part, if you thought that the day of destruction was bad, there's a day that is coming that is even more horrific. The day of the Lord is coming. It is near, Joel writes. Joel describes the Lord's army using the imagery of destroying locusts. He issues a call to return to the Lord and to fast and to pray. And last, the third part. God responds. First, God responds to the coming plague. And he offers healing. And he offers restoration. Then on a much larger scale, God responds in the day of the Lord, giving salvation to all who call upon his name. And he passes judgment on the worldly nations and all of those who acted wickedly towards his dear children. Our text this evening is actually taken from the very center of Joel's book. The imagery of the swarm of locusts, the compassion of the Lord's army, the day of the Lord that is coming, it's been made. And the reader, the Israelite then, and we today, we are left wondering as we hear of all of this death and destruction. We are wondering, what can be done? What can be done? My dear brother and sister, it's very close to the encounter that Jesus had with a rich young man. You all know this story quite well. A rich young man approaches Jesus, and he asks Jesus what good deed that he must do so that he can earn everlasting life. So Jesus looks at him with great compassion, and he tells him, oh, it's very simple. All you have to do is sell all of your possessions, give all of the money to the poor, and then come, follow me. You see, Jesus cuts to the heart of the matter. The rich young man was idolizing his money. His true God wasn't Yahweh. His true God was his bank account and all the possessions that he had. Well, we know what happens. The young man, downcast, slinks away from Jesus. So Jesus turns to his disciples and he explains to them just how difficult it is for someone with great wealth to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You also know this well. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples, they were greatly astonished at this, and they said, "Who then can be saved?" You almost hear Joel's audience asking the very same question this evening. Who then can be saved? Hence, with this question, Joel brings good news. He proclaims a promise of God. God is actually speaking through Joel, and he says, "It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." They needed only to return to the Lord. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. They only needed to stop trusting in themselves, stop trusting in their wealth, stop trusting in the things of this world. Just stop and return to the Lord and trust in him and him alone. They needed to realize that just as they couldn't stop the swarming locusts, neither would they be able to prevent the day of judgment. It will come. It will come, my dear brother and sister. And the only solution that we have is to return to the Lord. Now the question is this. Is this prophecy of Joel, is it only for the Israelites? Might each of us be facing a swarm of locusts that threatens to completely destroy us? The answer is clear. We certainly are. There are small, unassuming little things that each of us do a little bit of each day, and they cause great damage. Just like that small little insect, a locust, by itself, it does a little bit of damage, but you add it up with all of that swarm of locusts, and that swarm of locusts is a destructive force that descends on the landscape and decimates everything, everything that is good and right and decent. Your sins, my sins, they are our locusts. While one little locust doesn't seem to be all that terrifying, when the entire list of your sins and my sins are considered, it is breathtaking and it is terrifying. You know this and I know this. The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel writes, "The soul who sins shall die." Who then can be saved? Joel's words can and should hit you the very same way that they hit the Israelites. The day of the Lord will come with immense destruction and terror. Left in our unrepentant sin, we have no escape. The swarm of locusts, destruction of all vegetation, is the least of our worries. The great worry, the great destruction before those unrepentant sins is eternal death and damnation. And that, dear one, should absolutely terrify you. Yet, Joel brings good news. He brings a promise. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Return to the Lord your God. Return to your Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Dear one, in spite of your sinful rejection of God, he invites each of you to return to him. And he promises to bless each and every one of you. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in the world. Stop trusting in the evil one. They are all liars, and in them there is no salvation. Look to your God. Know that you cannot stop the swarming locusts, and you cannot prevent the coming day of judgment. Oh, it will come. You've already heard this over and over again now. It will come. The only solution, yes, is to return to the Lord. Therefore, over the coming midweek services, we will explore more deeply how God calls us to return to Him and how that will play out in our lives as we go forward. And we'll do this by walking the very steps of the disciples and all those who accompanied Jesus in His final days of life as He entered into Jerusalem and finally walked up the Mount of Golgotha. We will hear the call to return to the Lord, just as it echoed in the ears of the Israelites. This year it will also echo in our ears. Return to the Lord. For example, next Wednesday we will spend a little time with Peter, James, and John as they accompany Jesus, not up to the Mount of Transfiguration, did that already. This time we will walk with them up the Mount of Olives and into the Garden of Gethsemane. The theme for our Lenten Midweek 1 service is to return to prayer. And similar themes will follow through the following Wednesdays. Yet now this evening, right now, we conclude with an invitation. An invitation from your pastor to please to come and to hear. Hear how we are to return to our Lord. And tonight we join together. We join together to listen to God call to us. And He is calling to us. He is always calling to us to return to Him. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And now, dear one, He calls to you to come, to eat, and to drink for the strengthening of your faith unto life and salvation and for the forgiveness of all your sins. Your Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.